All right, Revelation 3 and verse 20, very familiar scripture. Love to quote this verse a lot while we're preaching, and I just want to preach out of it today. Revelation 3 and 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, he said, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you again and that for another opportunity and that to come and preach the word of God. Lord, we thank you for these dear people that have assembled together today. Lord, they've come looking for something from you today. And Lord, I pray that you would help hearts. Lord, we ask if there's one who are lost that you would save them. I bring them to a place of repentance that they might trust you. Lord, we're very thankful for that one that came and got saved Wednesday night. Lord, very grateful for that. Not anything that we've done, but for what you've done. And Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we pray that you would help the one here today that needs help. Encouragement might be found in the Word of God. Now touch us afresh and anoint us from heaven today, for we certainly need you. And that to come back and do nothing without you. And we realize that today, according to John 15 and 5. Lord, we will tell you again how much we love you. Thank you for the singing, the choir singing, and thank you for reaching way below the bottom to get us. Lord, now come by and meet with us. Save that sinner's serious tale for these things in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You can be seated this morning. As we look at this verse right here, as the Lord was dealing with the church of Laodicea, that was deceived, they were lukewarm. And he had told them there in verse 16, he said, "Because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth." And if you look, what was the problem? He says, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." And the problem was, is they had everything that they wanted except Christ. And so he tells them in verse 20, he says, "I'm standing at the door and knock." And let me say that what you have today does not make you saved. You're not saved because of possessions. You're not saved because of property. You're not saved because of anything that you have. But because of the wonderful grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've asked him into your heart, he's come in and saved you and forgave you of your sin. The Bible talks about in the book of Proverbs how that riches make their self wings and will certainly fly away into the heavens. So you certainly cannot count on your money today. It can't get you there. But as he's talking to the church here at Laodicea, here's what I want to deal with is the latter part of this verse where he says that if he'll open the door, he said, "I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." And I want to preach for just a little while this morning with the Lord being our helper when Jesus comes to stay. Ain't you glad when you got saved that Jesus came to stay? Boy, that tickles my heart. I'm reminded of that old song that Brother Roloff used to sing on the radio when he had come on the air. And it started, "Once sat alone by the highway begging. His eyes were blind. He could not see. He clutched his old rags and gathered in the shadows. But Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away. For he takes the gloom and fills the life with glory. When Jesus comes, for all is changed. When Jesus comes to stay." And boy, I'm telling you, when he came into my heart, it changed everything. And let me preach today for just a little while. When Jesus comes to stay. Can I preach that and tell you that when he comes, at least that is a mystery. Paul talked about that in the book of Colossians chapter 1. He said, "To whom God will make known what is the riches of his glory, of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Do you realize that when you got saved, that by the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ come and set up residence in your life? I remember there was a little boy asked his daddy one time, most of y'all know this story. He asked his daddy, he said, "Daddy, if Jesus really comes into our heart, then wouldn't he just be poking out everywhere in our life?" And is that not the way that it ought to be today? If Christ resides in you and is in your heart, shouldn't he just be poking out everywhere? I mean, he ought to make a difference in your life today. John 15 and 5 tells us that as we're in him and he's in us, that it ought to make a difference in our life. But when Jesus comes to stay, now Lord, you help us today, for we certainly need you. When Jesus comes to stay, first of all, we have a fellowship as a friend. Look in the text verse. He said, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Now the word friend simply means one who is attached to another by affection. I think every one of us in here has got friends. Some of us have got best friends. Some of us have got good friends. And I mean, it's good to have friends. Bible talked about the friendship that Jonathan and David had in 1 Samuel. The Bible said in 1 Samuel chapter 18, and it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. I believe that's a good friend right there. Somebody that will love you as they love themselves. But can I tell you that Christ loved us in spite of ourselves today? Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 said, But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Ain't you glad that when the Lord found you in the place that you were in, that He saved you anyway in spite of yourself? Amen. Help me out, church. Listen, I'm glad that He seen me for what I was and knew what I was. I wasn't no better than Legion was in Mark chapter 5. But He come to where I was. He did reach way below the bottom and got me and saved me and became my friend. Ain't you glad that you have a friend in Jesus today? Hey, we sing that old song sometime in the Redback book. What a friend we have in Jesus. Well, I'm telling you, that's an understatement today, and that for the child of God, that we've got a friend in Him. Boy, all our sins and griefs to bear, all our sorrows He'll carry. Listen, we can go to the throne of grace, according to the book of Hebrews, and find mercy and grace to help in a time of need. But it said right here that He would do what? That He would come in and sup with Him and He with me. Well, I'm glad that I've got a friend in the Lord Jesus. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 18 that a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Let me tell you, if you're saved today, you've got a friend. You've got somebody that you can call on. You've got somebody that you can trust. You've got somebody that you can fellowship with every day and every minute of the hour. Proverbs 17:17 said that a friend loveth at all times. Ain't you glad that Jesus loves you all the times? You know, they spoke out there that probably don't love me. And probably, and if they did, bless their heart. If they didn't, bless their heart. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus loves me all the time. You know, we teach these youngins around here how to sing that old song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Well, I'm telling you, that's one of the truest songs that I've ever known. I'm glad that the Lord loves me today. You know, there was a doctrine went around, I guess it's been almost 20 years ago, that God didn't love the sinners. I never bought on to that thing. I know He's angry with the wicked every day. I understand that. I know He's mad at them. And I know judgment and justice is coming. But here's the difference between us and God. God can be righteous in His indignation and still be mad at them and angry at them and still love them at the same time and save them if they'll come to Him. But He became my friend when I got saved. And He has been that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Ain't you glad you got somebody on the inside that'll come by and fellowship with you and you with Him? What did He say? He said, I'll sup with Him and He with me. Fellowship. You know what that means? That means you got some things in common one with another. Can the Bible said, can two, listen to me now, can two walk together except they be agreed? Ain't that what He said in the book of Ecclesiastes over there? Then He doesn't say, can two walk together except they be agreed? And hey, listen, I tell you what, He knows me and I know Him, and He saved me and I've got Him. And you know what? When we fellowship, we fellowship around Him. You say, Jesus has got, He's got a complex. He ain't got a complex. He's worthy of everything. Amen. He's worthy of my praise. He's worthy of talking about Him and all the goodness and all the good things that He does. Don't you just want to talk to Him every now and again? Hey, listen, I know I've preached on this before, but a lot of times I find myself praying in a time of fellowship and saying, Lord, I need this, I need this, I need You to accomplish this, I want You to do this, and I need to move here, I need to help this one's sick, this one needs to get saved, and all those things are good. But when's the last time you just sat down and carried on a conversation and just fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, just talk to Him like He's your friend. I know that He's the Savior of the world, but listen, the Bible says that we can come unto Him and cry out, and that Abba Father, hey listen, we have a relationship, and that with the God of heaven, that we can fellowship, and that with Him. You remember that? You remember the Bible talks about the Lord's ship went across the water over there, and the Bible said that there was many little ships that followed the Lord's ship. You know, when He sets up His Lordship in your life, there's many little ships that ought to follow. A relationship, fellowship, church membership. Amen. There's some little ships that ought to follow right there. But listen, we can have a time of fellowship. Don't you like to sit down and just talk to people? I do. I'll be honest with you. I'm going to talk. You can ask my wife. My wife will come in and she'll say, "You've not seen anybody today, have you?" Because, I mean, my mouth's just going, I said, "Nope, been home all day by myself, and the cat won't even talk to me." I mean, boy, when the cat won't even yell at you, you know you're in bad shape. But listen, she knows. And listen, I have to be around people. And I love to get around people and talk about things that we have in common. See, that's what you fellowship around, is things that you have in common. What do you got in common with the Lord Jesus Christ today? Do you have anything in common with Him? Listen, has He saved you? You in fellowship around your salvation? Hey, the Bible talks about over here, at one point, after being called in the fellowship of His dear Son, there in the book of 1 Corinthians, He talks about in Philippians chapter 1, He says, "For your fellowship in the gospel." We in fellowship around the gospel with Him. Or to be saved. You know, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. You know, Paul talks about over there in the book of Philippians again, in chapter 3, I believe it is, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection. And boy, we can fellowship in that around His resurrection. We can fellowship in that around the change that He made in our life. We can fellowship in around what He's done and what He is doing in our life. He's not going to fellowship with us on worldly things. You realize that, don't you? He's going to fellowship with us on spiritual things. And listen, that's what He wants out of our life, is spiritual matters and spiritual things. Scriptural matters and scriptural things. Listen, Paul said again in the book of Philippians chapter 3, not only that He may know Him in the power of His resurrection, but he said, and the fellowship of His sufferings. I preached on suffering not too long ago and having the power of God. And we find the power of God in suffering. And we fellowship with Him in suffering. Can I make a statement right here? I believe I made it while I was preaching the last time. But you'll find yourself closest to the Lord when you're suffering. In the fellowship. You know, Christ suffered. The Bible said that in Isaiah 53 that He was a man of sorrow. He suffered through sorrow. I believe when them youngins came that day and He blessed them youngins and He held them up in His arms, I believe He smiled, the biggest smile, and He loved on them youngins. But I'm going to tell you, He was a man of sorrow. And the Bible said He was acquainted with grief. And I'm going to tell you something. When we're going to fellowship with Him, we're going to have to fellowship with Him in them sufferings. We're going to have to fellowship around His suffering. That don't sound too exciting today, does it? Hey, but I'm going to tell you today, if we're going to fellowship, He said, "I'll come in and sup with Him and He with me." Not only are we going to fellowship in salvation, in what He done. And boy, ain't you glad to be saved today. Boy, I'm telling you, I tell you, if I could say it this way, never was so proud to see that little girl, young lady, let me put it like that, come down here Wednesday night and got saved. Boy, I'm telling you, I've been living on that all week long, amen? And He's turned my inside upside down and upside right and upside down again. I'm telling you, because God moved. I'm still glad He's in the saving business. But listen, we fellowship and that around His salvation and what He done for us. You know why you can get up here in the choir and sing Jesus is the one? Yes, He's the only one. Because you know what it's like to have Him on the inside. You know why you can raise your hand and that in praise to Him while you're singing? Because you know what it's like. And that to fellowship around salvation. Do you know why you can get up and you can go when you're suffering? And listen, when the world seems like they don't even care and like the church don't even care, listen, I want you to understand that He cares. What did He say in 1 Peter 5 and 7? Cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Listen, He cares for you even in the midst of suffering. We can fellowship and that with Him today. He said, "I'll come in and sup with Him and He with me." He's my friend to fellowship with. I'm glad I've got somebody that I can sit and talk to. I'm glad I do. And I'm glad He's my friend today. If you don't know Him as your friend, He wants to get to know you. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And He said, "If any man hear my voice." You know, God's got to call you. He'll speak to you first. And He gives you the opportunity and that to open the door. I'm glad He spoke to my heart one Sunday night a long time ago and moved. Listen, He's my friend that I fellowship with. Then number two, when He come in, He become my governed as a guide. You know what that word governed mean? That means that to direct or to control the actions of another. Not only do I fellowship with Him, but I let Him govern the way that my life is run. You realize, hey, listen, when I got saved, before I got saved, the devil was running my life. Before you got saved, he was running your life. You say, "Well, he ain't." Go over and look in the book of Timothy, and you'll find out that you was taken captive by Satan at his will. At any time that he wanted you, he could have had you. But boy, when Jesus come to stay, He become a govern and a guide to my life. Listen, how many of you are letting Him guide you today? You know, when something governs you, that means it's got control over you. Who's got control over you today? Who's ruling in your life? Who's running your life? You or the Savior? Listen, it's not to be one of the greatest examples that we have of submission is before the Lord Jesus ever went to Calvary. And He said, "Father," He said, "let this cup pass from me." But He said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." That cup He was referring to, I don't believe was dying at Calvary, but for carrying in that the sins of all humanity upon a man that never knew what it meant to sin. And He said, "Let it pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." How many of us say that? Do we let Him govern and have our will? I thought of an example of when you're on a trail that has a guide with it. Some of you have been like that. You've been hiking or you've been somewhere, maybe on vacation, and they're taking you somewhere. And you're on a road or you're on a trail that you've never been on before. But yet you've got a guide. Now, if you've never been on this trail or this road before, and you do not own a road map, and you don't know which way you're going, would it not be wise to follow the guide that knows? Would it not be wise in that to follow the one that knows the best way to get there, even though it may not look the best, even though the road may be bumpy and rocky, but yet that's the best way to get there? There may be a mountain out there that is hard to climb, but yet that's the way the guide says to go. You know, we've got two options right there, don't we? We can either follow the guide or we can go our own way. Which one's the best? Y'all know this. That's a loaded question. What's to follow the guide, ain't it? To let Him to govern and that in our life. Are we listening this morning? Listen, He said in James 4, He said, "Submit yourselves therefore to God." When you submit your will and that to the Heavenly Father, then you have gave yourself to Him. You have gave your will over to Him. You said, "Lord, here I am," just like in Isaiah 6, "here am I, send me." That is a scary thing to say. How many of you have ever done that? Have you ever said that? You say, "Well, preacher, if I get down on my knees and in earnest and honestly say, 'Lord, here I am, I want you to use me however you see fit.'" They ain't no telling what He might do with me, preacher. That's true. There ain't no telling what He might do with you. He might leave you exactly where you're sitting at and use you where you are. Or He might send you halfway around the world and back before tomorrow. But listen, when you get right where God wants you at, you know something that I've learned about submission? And this was a hard thing to do when you get submitted to the Lord. Sometimes you just got to give you up. And what I mean by that is you've got to give up your dreams. You've got to give up that everything that you've looked for out yonder. You're saying, this is what I hope to accomplish. This is what I want to do out there. This is where I want to be when I'm 40 and 45 and 50 and 55 years old. This is where I want to be. You know what? That may not be the plan that God has for your life. If we're not careful, we'll try to shove God's plan into our plan. When what we need to do is shove His, not shove, but take His plan and put our plan with His. And you know what? If our plan can't line up with His, we need to scratch our plan and start all over again. It's a scary thing. And I've told Him that over the years. Boy, you get to a place to what's going on in your life that you know that you'd just rather serve God because that'll be the happiest place that you'll ever be. Is when you're right in the middle of God's will, where you can fellowship with Him. By the way, when you ain't where God wants you to be, you can't fellowship with Him right. You remember when the prodigal, in Luke 15, when the prodigal left home and he left his father and he left his family and he left his friends. You know what? He had no fellowship with them. Why is that? Well, he wasn't where he'd be close to them. And listen, if you ain't where God wants you to be, if He's not governing you and you're not following Him as a guide, then you can't fellowship with Him. Boy, it ruins the fellowship in our life. But I'm glad He knows. I'm glad He knows today. You know, He leads us. He leads us. And here's the thing. He'll lead us if we'll follow. He will. If you say, Lord, I just want You to lead and go. You remember in Joshua chapter 6, he's getting ready to go fight against Jericho. And they're making preparations. They've already crossed the Jordan, and they've got on the other side over there. And he's making plans and that to fight Jericho. And he's going to have to go around one time a day for 7 days. On the seventh day, seven times they're going to march, and that all the way around Jericho. But you remember who showed up over there? Do you remember he saw a man standing over there? I believe he's leaned up. And he come over there to him, and he said, Joshua said, are you for us? Are you for the enemy? Are you for them, our adversary? And the Lord said, here you find the Lord standing there. And He said, I'm come as the captain of the Lord's host. And you know what Joshua's going to have to do to fight that battle? He's going to have to follow the captain of the Lord's host. He'll always be there to lead if we'll let Him. He said what? He said, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. He's on the inside. He's trying to help you. A lot of times we think that the Lord is against us. And He's trying to get us into something that ain't going to benefit us, or it's going to be against us, or it's going to hurt us. Hey, I'm going to tell you, anything the Lord leads us into is not going to hurt us, friend. It will not do it. He'll put us right where He wants us to be at. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and will open the door, He said, I'll come in and sup with him. And he with me. When Jesus comes, He comes as a friend to fellowship. But He comes as a guide to govern in our life. How many of us are letting Him govern and guide us today? I'm talking about the simple things and not only the big things. Say, you ever seen somebody and the Lord just... You know, we see people all the time, don't we? I mean, just walk in now, the grocery store, Walmart, the job. You just walk past people. And you know, most of the time, and especially me, I don't know how you are, but I've probably got blinders on. I just walk past people and I never notice anybody. But have you ever walked past somebody, and boy, I mean, it's just like the Lord just, there's something different on this one occasion right here. There's something different about this occasion that we're going to have to go talk to them people. Now, I don't know if the Lord ever works on your heart that way, but He works on my heart that way. And you say, well, preacher, I'm backward and I'm shy. And I've told you how to do it. If you got to, I just hand it out and say, I want you to have this and move on. I mean, listen, if you're backward and shy, but I know that God can give you some power to stand there and talk to you. I told you the story of the time we were down just probably north of Macon. And we was coming home out of South Georgia down there, and I was a pumping gas, and one of them little boys that, or young men that was, he was out there sweeping up the cigarette butts off the, and the trash off the gas station concrete there. And, he was just doing his job. And I was a pumping guy. I said, boy, I'm telling you, if ever a time the Lord had spoke to my heart to talk to him about the Lord and talk to him about himself, that was it. And man, me and Kelly, we go, I mean, I'm a pumping guy, so I've got her looking for a track. I mean, we're emptying Bibles and emptying. I mean, we opened the glove compartment, the console, went through suitcases, didn't have a track one nowhere in that vehicle. Done handed them all out, give them out. And I'm like, Lord, how am I going to start this conversation without a track in my hand? Because that's the way I start a conversation. I mean, most times I've got something in my hand, and like to say, I carry these things that are not too controversial and are not, they're not going to hopefully cause no trouble. When folks see that it's just an invitation to the church, you know, that really just sets people on ease a lot of times. I mean, listen, I'm not wanting something with the devil and a bunch of fire swinging out of it and far coming out of his ears and his nose and all that. And I'm not wanting to scare people to death. Holy Spirit can do that. Amen. And when it comes time to preach on hell, I'll preach on hell, and that's fine. And the Lord can take that and deal with it. But I'm going to tell you what I want folk to know is that Jesus loves them and will save them from hell, amen, if they'll come to Him. But I didn't have a track. And I mean, man, we tore the whole car apart and couldn't find one nowhere. And I thought, well, Lord, what am I going to do? He said, you're going to have to go talk to Him. Govern as a guide. You say, well, did the boy get saved? No. He didn't get saved. But he said, you know something? He said, you're the second fellow this week that's talked to me about getting saved. And I said, well, you know what? Maybe the Lord's trying to tell you something. And when I get in that position there, you know, and I'm going to be honest with you, when He's governing as a guide, let me say this, He'll give you some courage in that talk if you'll just rely on Him. He's on the inside, friend, to help us, not to hinder us, and not to hurt us. But you know, you do got to remember how the book of Romans chapter 7, I believe it is, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. So you're always going to have the Lord in your heart telling you what you need to do. And you're going to have your adversary. And I'm going to deal with him here in a minute. As my wife says, now you're getting ahead of yourself. You always have your adversary right up here whispering in your ear. Now you don't need to go talk to him. They're going to think you're crazy. I got over that a long, long time ago because I know that most people think that I'm crazy. But He will lead us. He will impress us. You know, what did you say in Psalms 119? Thy word have I hid. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He said in another place, I believe it was in Psalms 119 verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Listen, we hide it in there so that He can take it and guide us by it and use us by it. If you need direction in your life, you'll find it in the Word of God today. He will help you. Psalm 73, verse 23. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. He governs me as a guide. He fellowships with me as a friend. And I'm glad of that today. But then me and him wars together as a winner. What do you mean, wars together? You realize we're in a battle, don't you? We're in a war. Remember, now I'm going to be careful about what I say. I made that statement one time, and I've regretted making that statement about loving a good fight. And I've been in a good fight, man, with my adversary just about ever since then. But do you realize that we war not together against him, but together with him? Hey, the Bible said in the book of 2 Timothy over there, he said, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. We're a soldier. For y'all that's been in the service, y'all know what that Y'all know what them two letters GI means, don't you? It means government issued, don't it? Ain't that what GI means? Government issued. You belong to the government of the United States. When you raised your hand and they swore you in and you signed your little name down there on the bottom of that thing and you belong to them till they cut you loose. You realize that we belong to the Lord forever. And He expects us to war and battle as long as we're here. He understands it's a battle. He knows that. If anybody understands that we're living in a battle, are you not in a battle today? Do you not fight? I found the more that I try to strive and live for the Lord and draw close to the Lord, I find that it's more of a battle every time. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, woe my seek unto whom he may devour. He's after you. But yet, if Christ is in you, you've got somebody to fight with you. What did he say in little John over there in 1 John? Greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. And he said, we've overcome them. Talk about those that have the spirit of Antichrist. He said, you have overcome them because greater is he. Hey, he's in you today if you're saved. Boy, I'd hate to fight this battle alone if I wasn't saved. It is by the power of his might. What was it he said in Ephesians chapter 6? Verse 10, he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Why is that? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickednesses in high places. It is a battle and a fight that we're in today, and he's there to help us. Right here. He guides us and governs us through that fight. The one thing that you all in the service had to understand, and listen, you know, I'm in the Lord's army. Yeah, I might never march in the infantry. Zoom or the enemy, is that right? Zoom or the enemy? I may not do that, but I'm in the Lord's army. You know, the one thing about it that they had to do in boot camp was break you down to get you to where you'd understand to take orders. And the one thing that the Lord has to do to our will is get us broke down to where we'll learn to take orders and learn how to fight. You know, the Lord will want you to do some, I won't use the word crazy things sometimes in the fight, but He will want you to do some things that seem totally opposite of what you ought to be doing. What are you talking about, preacher? If you go to the book of Judges sometime, you find a man over there by what's his name? Gideon. And he started with 32,000 men. And he gets out there. And here's what Gideon says. If you're afraid, go home. And 10,000 men picked up their self and went home. So now he's down to 22,000 men. Now, Gideon has seen the army. He knows that they're scattered out through the valley, out through there, like grasshoppers as far as he can see. And he's went from 32,000 to 22,000. And so the Lord says, way too many, Gideon. And he sends them down there to the creek and says, you watch how they take that water. Watch whether they lap it up like a dog or whether they pull it up to their mouth. And by the time it's all said and done, Gideon had 300 men. That seems a little crazy to me. Don't it seem a little crazy to you? Now, here's where Gideon. And boy, you're talking about trying the Lord. He tried the Lord over and over and over again. He puts the fleece out and says, Lord, let it be dry and the ground be wet. And the Lord said, okay, Gideon. So he made the fleece dry and the ground wet. And he looked up to heaven again and he said, Lord, don't get angry with me. But he said this time, I make the fleece wet and the ground dry. And he went out there that next morning and he wrung the water out of the fleece and the ground was dry. And one more time, God came to him after all that and he got his men and everything that was ready to go fight. And he said, Gideon, he said, if you're still fearful to go down, he said, you go down and you hide yourself and that down there next to the enemy and take your servant with you, Phurah, and said, you go down and you listen to what they have to say. And you remember there was two of those Midianites down there, and one said, we had a big old dream that a pancake rolled in here and just destroyed everything. And the other one said, that's nothing more than the sword of Gideon that's coming to destroy us. And the Bible said that right there in that place that him and Phurah worshipped, and he went back and got ready and that to fight. I believe the Lord can impress on you enough that you know what you need to do. I remember standing out on the front porch one Sunday afternoon. The kids had come in here and practiced the youth choir, and it was over with a little early. And I remember there was a gentleman that was coming. They had been coming for about 2 or 3 weeks, and he just lived up the road and just a rough old feller. And I remember just he was standing on one side of the door and I stand on the other, and he'd got here early, and I remember the Lord just pushing on my heart, and he said, won't you talk to him about me. Won't you ask him if he's ever been saved? And I remember I looked at him and I called him by name. I said, you ever been saved? He said, no, I never have. He said, but you know, when you give the invitation, I feel like I need to go up there every time you give the invitation and get saved. I said, would you like to get saved right now? And listen, he had just had surgery and was standing on a cane and couldn't kneel down. I said, I'll tell you what, you don't even got to kneel down. I said, if you'll just bow your head right here and ask Jesus to save you, knowing that you're lost, he'll save you. You know what that old boy done? He got saved out there on the front porch. Just following the Lord. Just following the Lord. Seemed a little crazy to me. But you know, when we get in a battle, though, I got sidetracked there. But when we get in a battle, he's going to be there to lead in that fight. Just like with Joshua, didn't that seem a little silly that they marched around it one time for 7 days and then on the seventh day? And then they shouted for the victory. I'm not telling you God's going to have you march around the enemy 7 times in 7 days and on the seventh day march 7 times more. I'm not going to tell you that. But sometimes God, he simply just wants us to follow him and govern us even when we're in the midst of the battle and in the midst of the fight. You know why? Let me tell you. He knows our enemy better than you know him. He knows how to defeat the enemy. And he's going to take care of the enemy. He can help us. He said there's no temptation taking you but such as common to man. But God is faithful. Ain't that a wonderful thing? God is faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Didn't say he'd take it away. He just said he'd let you be able to bear it, get you through it. The fight. David went there to fight God. Little feller that David was, he sure was little in Goliath size. Goliath that stood just shy of 10 foot tall. The Bible just tells us that David was a young man. He was a ruddy man. He was probably a handsome man and a red complected, if you let me say that. But David knew the Lord. And David goes out there and that to Goliath. And he says, you come to me with a spear and a sword and a shield. He said, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he let that rock go as he's running. Can you imagine that? He's running toward Goliath and he's slinging that rock and he turns that thing loose and he hits Goliath in the one place that Goliath is not protected. Right in the forehead. Now it would seem to me that if he got hit in the forehead that he'd fall backwards. But if I remember that scripture right, he fell on his face. He was going to fall on his face toward the God of heaven. It was going to happen. Hey, listen, who knew the enemy better than David did? God did. He guided that rock to hit the enemy in the one place he was unprotected. Hey, I'm telling you today, if we will just let him come and guide us in that war, listen, we'll win the battle, friend. Let's bow our heads this morning across the house. Listen, do you know him today? Do you know him, what it means to have fellowship time with him? Have you been saved? Has he come in and set up residence? If he has, then you ought to know what it means to fellowship. And maybe there's something that has ruined the fellowship. Jacob, give me a little music this morning, son, if you would. What does it mean? What does it mean to fellowship? It means that we're going to be able in that to talk around the same thing and have things in common, fellowship with him. Can you imagine that the God of heaven, the God of heaven wants to fellowship with you. He wants to talk with you and spend time with you. Ain't that amazing? Ain't that amazing? That still amazes me that the God in heaven wants something to do with me. He knows that I am just dust and he knows my frame. But he wants to fellowship with me. He wants you to take time out of your busy day of doing what you want to do, going where you want to go. And he wants you to take some time out of that busy day and fellowship with him. When's the last time you just sat down and fellowship with him? Talk to him. Lord, I just want to thank you. I'm not coming to ask anything. I just want to thank you. Boy, we sing that in here Wednesday night, folk testifying
just thanking God for what He had done. Do you know what? How many of us are letting Him guide in our life? Say, Lord, I'm at a crossroad. I need some help right here. Are you letting Him guide in your life? Are you warned? Are you fighting today? The adversary said, boy, the adversary has about got me. I'm going to tell you, there's somebody inside of you that's greater than that adversary. Do you know Him? Have you ever trusted Him to be your Savior? Have you ever come to a place where you repented of your sins and said, Lord, I want You to save me? If you need to move, I want you to come today. God's give you opportunity. While the music plays, would you come?